Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast, where you learn what you need to know about how the world wants to work. And now your host, coworking space owner and trend expert, Jamie Russo.
Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast, episode number 39. Today I'm talking with Michael Youngblood, co-founder of Unsettled. As is so common in entrepreneurship, Michael stumbled upon his business while solving a problem for himself. One day, in chilly Massachusetts, it dawned on him that he didn't have to spend his winters in the northwestern U.S. So he asked a few friends to spend a month with him in Bali. A simple desire to avoid the freezing temperatures has evolved into a highly designed experience that many participants describe as life-changing. This episode is sponsored by OneSystems, which provides an end-to-end technology platform for workspaces. Their unique solution simplifies and centralizes the control of all IT systems to allow for a smart workplace, helping IT, HR, accounting, and employee management become more efficient than ever before. Our second sponsor is DaVinci Virtual Office Solutions. Listing your virtual office address and meeting and co-working spaces with DaVinci includes free global advertising, monthly recurring revenues, an online reservation platform, a calendar system integration, and increased variable income. What more could you ask for? DaVinci also offers live receptionist and live web chat services, allowing you to convert web traffic and generate revenues and also to resell to your customers. If you are interested in shared workspace, and I'm guessing you are if you're listening to this podcast, please mark your calendars for the Global Workspace Association's annual conference in Miami, Florida, September 11th through the 13th. Or better yet, mark it for the 9th through the 13th so you can spend the weekend at the gorgeous One Hotel South Beach where the conference will be hosted. It is right on the beach and it is amazing. Aside from the gorgeous venue, we have an outstanding program planned for you. So make sure you put that in your travel plans for the year. And the last thing before we get started, the Global Workspace Association is kicking off a series of flight groups throughout 2017. If you want to get first dibs on participating, text the word flight to 4222 and then enter your email address when prompted. The first flight groups are for operators, new operators who are looking for step-by-step guidance from lease negotiation through their first year of business. Each month, we'll tackle a number of topics to help you successfully launch your space. The space in these groups will be limited, so if you're interested, text now the word flight to 4222, and you'll be the first to get an email with all of the details. Okay, let's get into the interview. I'm talking today with Michael Youngblood, co-founder of Unsettled. Unsettled Adventures organizes 30-day co-working retreats for creative and entrepreneurs to connect, create, and collaborate in world-renowned destinations. But these retreats are about more than just accommodation, a desk, and some Wi-Fi. Unsettled seeks to guide people on an adventure at the intersection of work, meaning, and possibility. Sign me up. Michael is here today to share his story and how Unsettled, which is actually beunsettled.co, came to be, how it works, and how we can participate. Michael, thanks for joining us today.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks, Jamie.
So tell us your story. You have kind of a varied background and sort of how Unsettled came to be.
Yeah, sure. So Unsettled, I've realized after talking about it so much that it became a project first and a business second, and it was a solution to my own problem. So I'm 31 years old. I have never worked for anybody but myself since being about 20 years old. And, you know, as a result, you know, a lot of my friends are either self-employed or sort of an independent freelancer. And so, you know, my friends, my professional networks that I'm a part of, and over the years, you know, I just saw this, you know, just growing trend of how many people were sort of looking, you know, like me, working from home, working from coffee shops, you know, picking up a co-working space, you know, maybe for the year, maybe a month at a time. And I realized it was 4 years ago. I was living in Washington, D.C. I was working for MIT, the university. I'd never stepped foot in Cambridge, Massachusetts. And I sort of, as winter was approaching, I asked myself, you know, why am I going to be spending November, December, January you know, here in North America when I have to be nowhere, you know, in person. And so it actually all got started when I reached out to a few friends of mine. I literally sent out 3 to 5 emails to ask some friends if they would want to go to Bali with me. And I'd done research, and it's worth noting the very first company I owned when I was 21, first time I was self-employed, was a travel company. It was an ecotourism company in the United States. And so I have a background and, you know, just in a love for putting together, you know, trips and the logistics behind it. So I did that for what I thought would be a group of, you know, 4 or 5 friends. And we might, you know, go, you know, work for a month and surf in Bali. And I remember I sent out this email. It was late one night. And I broke down the cost for, you know, what the trip would cost everybody to pitch in, just like if you're going to, you know, a cabin with some friends. Sent this out, and I go in and I put a link to my PayPal for my friends to pay me. And I go in about 10 days later, I had like 22 people who sent me money from all over the world. Because my friends started to send this email out. And I realized that it was much more than just me and a handful of friends that wanted to go out and do this. And so that's kind of, you know, how I got started. As just sort of a funny story, but when we got there in Bali, you know, I sort of put on my, I basically had to end up taking a leave of absence from my work that month. And because we had 42 people that, you know, spread out. So my trip of 5 friends turned into 42. And so this was, you know, it was only 4 years ago, I think. And so not that long ago, and obviously the big picture of things, but when you look at, you know, sort of the space that we're in, that's combining work and travel today, 4 years ago, there was, you know, myself and one other guy that I could find in the entire world doing something like this. Today, you know, we have a list of, you know, 60 to 80 different players sort of, you know, trying to do something like this. So once we got there in Bali, it turned into be really the best month of that year for me. One of the better months of my life when you just sort of think of it as a month. And I realized, you know, for this growing population of people who are working independently, who are, you know, freelancers, who are self-employed, which is, I think the latest stat is like 33% of the U.S. workforce.
I think that number's getting higher every time they measure it. Yeah, it's amazing.
It's such a structural shift. I mean, I look back at, you know, you can begin to tell I'm a bit of a nerd if I've worked for people like MIT. You know, so I nerd out on this stuff. But if you look back at changes in our workforce over time, you know, I think what's happening right now with how many people that are, you know, working for themselves, 1099, you know, self-employed, you know, startups, it's as big of a shift in our workforce as sort of the corporate sector was in the 1950s.
Yeah.
And it's changing, you know, everything else about how we live has been changed. It's been built around the individual. And now suddenly who and how we work, it's the last sort of institution that's been individualized, in my opinion. And so, that's, you know, when we got there in Bali, you know, I was there with 42 people from, you know, we were probably 15 countries that first time. And, you know, everybody was this sort of, you know, professional background. You know, we were figuring out our marketing on our own, how to structure client engagements, how to do our taxes, all of these things. And so we got there and we had suddenly a peer group of 42 people to share these skills with, to share these challenges with. And that's what this ultimately, when I was there and realized this is something greater than like a one-time event in my life. So I guess that's how I got started.
So where is it at today?
Yeah, so it remained a side project for the first 2 or 3 years. And, you know, once or twice a year, you know, we'd go out and put a trip together. And, you know, it continued to be the best sort of month of that year. And eventually, you know, one morning about a year ago, this week probably, you know, I was continuing, you know, my normal company that I was running. I'd been doing it for about 4 years, which I co-founded with my co-founder of Unsettled. And so we've known each other, you know, we've done a lot of these side trips together. You know, we've worked together for a number of years. You know, it was just one of those days where, you know, the work had become, you know, a bit more of a routine than I'd liked. And, you know, I probably woke up, brushed my teeth as I normally do, look in the mirror, noticed a few more wrinkles on my face. And I just sort of said to myself, like, if this is the best month every single year, like, you know, why don't I continue to do this? Mm-hmm. And so it was about a year ago when it began to shift from a side project into what Jonathan and I have begun to treat as, you know, our full-time focus. So where is it today? You know, we spent 3 months this summer at TED. So the TED Talks, you know, the organization who hosts host that. They're located in New York City. They put together a residency program at their offices in New York City for entrepreneurs and activists and artists and all types of people. But we got into that. And, you know, our normal sort of nomadic lifestyle has allowed Jonathan and me to go to New York for about 4 months, you know, in sort of this, you know, incredible network that TED is.
Yeah.
Intellectual powerhouse that it is. And basically it was an incubator for just people. It was, you know, not businesses, you know, TED residency was an incubator for people. And so that's where we began to look at this, you know, and it was great being in TED because of course TED, it's, you know, their tagline is ideas that spread, right? Mm-hmm. If you begin to understand the DNA behind that, ideas come from people, right? So TED, while it's about these talks that are online that are based on ideas, it's always about people. And so what we realized this summer is, while Unsettled, if you go to our website, it looks like a travel company at first. It's not. It's a people company. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that's what continues in making these months incredible for us. You know, that's what I think attracts people to us. So coming out of this TED residency, we realized that we ran our first two retreats under, you know, the Unsettled name. This fall, we just took 60 people from all over the world to Bali and to Buenos Aires. And then what we decided to do, because we are sort of a startup, you know, we're definitely a startup. You know, this is, there's so many assumptions we're testing and how we're approaching this with our model. We decided to run these first two retreats to Bali and Buenos Aires and sort of put pause on it for the month of December and to look at what we've learned before announcing. And we've just announced sort of what 2017 looks like for us. And it's just, you know, it's a lot of great destinations, but it's continuing this focus on letting people live and work from anywhere 1 month at a time within a community. So that 1 month at a time, you know, really become the identity of Unsettled. And so, I mean, the whole world is just literally, the world's right in front of us in 2017. We're probably going to about 18 to 20 destinations in the next 12 months. You know, we'll be taking 400 or 500 people to these places. So it's a very exciting year ahead.
So will you be traveling for most of 2017?
Yep. So the first half, you know, the first two quarters, you know, I'll be traveling. You know, my co-founder, you know, Jonathan and I still go on almost every single one of these trips. You know, we bring sort of professional facilitators on them too. So at a certain point, you know, we do want to be able to remove ourselves out of this because, you know, just for our vision of what this community can become, how fast this sort of market of is growing of remote workers. You know, we don't want this to be about us. You know, we want this to, in fact, be about the people who go on these retreats. And so the first 6 months, you know, I'm going to be traveling to, you know, Medellin myself, to Bali, to Buenos Aires, to Barcelona. And then from there, we hope to, you know, be training oftentimes people who go on these retreats one time and they sort of, you know, have the skill set to create, to lead an experience. You know, we think of ourselves as sort of experienced designers, experienced leaders. And then just, you know, it's, you know, it might sound like ambitious growth in some ways, but it's honestly, I think it's really organic. You know, several, you know, there's about five sort of big organizations in this space. You know, I could name off exactly how much, but many of them have raised over $1 million. And they're really going after some aggressive growth. And I think it's great. We all think it's great. It's great when these sort of new industries, you know, grow legs and, you know, begin to put out, you know, pieces of infrastructure that just couldn't exist if it wasn't, you know, more than one companies in this space.
Yeah.
But I think we're really happy with what the year ahead is for us. It's, you know, some pretty aggressive for us targets, but, it's, you know, 500 people at the end of this year, that's a really solid community in our opinion.
So we talked about the kind of the big market that's starting to appear out there or grow. I guess it's not just suddenly appearing, but it's growing and will continue to grow of people who can choose where they work. What is sort of the profile or what drives somebody to do one of these trips?
So I break it down a couple of ways. So there's, you know, a profile of somebody who I think has, you know, set an intention in their life and in their career to, you know, be able to work remotely, let's say. You know, they sort of have designed, you know, their job or their career that enables them to, you know, have more, I think, control over their schedule. So, you know, that usually falls into somebody who has, you know, the founder of a company or more and more people who are freelancers, especially, you know, we get a lot of people who are freelancers in digital marketing.
Yeah.
You know, there's just, you know, there's just more and more of a need for that. And a lot of people can, you know, manage their clients, you know, online, you know, through the internet. So, you know, I would say half of the people who have gone, you know, with us on these trips over the last few years have come from one of those two profiles of owning their own business or sort of being, you know, what you might refer to as professional freelancer. However, there's this third group of people, which has at first it was a big surprise, and it's kind of been growing, and it even actually touches on those first two segments. And that is people who are in transition, who are looking for something new, who are tired of that routine in their life, and they're willing to, you know, maybe quit a, you know, lucrative job, a very stable career path that they might be in, but they want to be taken out of their comfort zone because they've, you know, maybe worked at a large company for, you know, 10, 12, 15 years, and they just want to be shaken up a little bit and make sure that they're getting everything that they can out of their life. And so I think they look at Unsettled and programs like ours, and they see it as, you know, a stepping stone that has some structure to it. And they see the community and they say, hey, these are, you know, this is a peer group that I want to be around. You know, these are people, you know, we're talking about, you know, running Skillshares, you know, workshops, and we're talking about having dinner parties, just, you know, conversation free flowing late into the night. Like, these are people that are going to, you know, help me, challenge me in this next step in my career and my life, help me ask the right questions. And so that segment of people, I mean, we had people come with us who had quit their job like literally the day before showing up to Buenos Aires. We had a young man who a couple of months earlier, he was in a car wreck and he saw one of his best friends die before his eyes, and he really began to ask existential questions. And so he quit his comfortable job at an accounting firm. And it's become a fascinating group of people because it's benefited my own life. It's benefited, you know, the lives of people who, you know, think they might be comfortable with the company that they own or their freelance careers. So it's, yeah, those are, I think, the people who join us and who are probably growing in this space. I think it's, you know, I think you can look at that statistically, and each one of those three areas are growing. Mm-hmm. I read a workforce report a couple of weeks ago, and it's not just a generational thing, but they happen to be focusing on millennials. And they found in the next 12 months, I think it was 64% of millennials they surveyed were planning to quit their jobs in the next 12 months.
64.
That's absurd.
It's absurd. I mean, it won't happen, but it's just absurd that's the mindset. It's amazing.
Yeah, that mindset is. And there's an order, I think it's 4 or 5 years old, from the U.S. Department of Labor, that millennials say are changing careers every 4 years. Like, careers, not jobs. Like, every 4 years, we're putting ourselves out there into the unknown, having to gain a new skill set, knowledge in a new industry. And so we've essentially, it's not just, again, generational, it's just the workforce. There's so much change. I think a lot of people, you know, there's great writers like Tim Ferriss and others who write about, like, hey, every few years, take a mini retirement. And so I think people like catching up. And so that's been a surprise to us to see those people sort of saying, okay, I want to change and I want to be part of this.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because, and you may have seen these stats, but of the percentage that are, you know, 1099 or independent, there's definitely some segment that didn't, it's sort of not quite as intentional. You know, something happened and so this is what they're doing now. And I wonder if it's taking time for them to catch up to this idea that there are a lot of opportunities around that, and they experience things like your program and really kind of leverage that freedom and independence. Yeah. So I think even that piece, like I would kind of guess that people sort of realize this and are doing it really intentionally is somewhat smaller and just
growing,
you know, by the moment, which is really fun.
I mean, the ability to work remotely would be a horrible thing to waste. And I think you're right that a lot of people don't realize that this is possible. And I think it begins with giving ourselves permission to go out and to realize that we can do something like this. You know, it seems complicated. And, you know, in fact, I think doing it your first time, you know, you can do these sort of things on your own. Yeah. I think if you were to do this your first time, I think it can be complicated. And so, you know, if you were to, you know, and I see people trying to do this where they show up in a new country, they have to find, you know, a good accommodation.
Yeah.
Oh, then they realize the internet isn't great there. Then they go to a coffee shop and, oh God, they're missing an important client meeting on Skype that minute. So it's not impossible, but, you know, it can certainly be done on its own.
And the other piece of that too, that I would think is a big one, is you could do that, or maybe you do it with a friend, but you're still, you know, there's probably, you get to know the locals, and I'm sure that's part of the experience they're trying to design, but there's probably an element of a little bit of loneliness while you're adjusting.
Absolutely.
Whereas with your program, you're sort of dropped into this immediate community, and you may not love everyone in it, but at least, you know, you're kind of off and running really quickly.
Oh, it's the biggest thing that attracts, you know, people to us. What we've basically talked about, you know, in this conversation summarizes, you know, the workforce has gotten more and more about the individual. And so there are more people, you know, working essentially by themselves than at any time in probably the history of humanity.
Yep.
You know, and sociologists write about this. There's a great book, you know, came out, I think almost 15 years ago by Robert Putnam, a great American sociologist, Bowling Alone. And he looks at all these other institutions. It's called Bowling Alone because there used to be bowling clubs that people would go bowling together, you know, in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. Today, people go to the bowling alley all by themselves. And he looks at all the institutions, except 15 years ago, work, I don't think this whole destructuralization of work had happened yet, like it has now. And, you know, I nerd out on these things I've looked at. You know, I don't know if there's a strong correlation, but, you know, there are all-time levels of loneliness. You know, there's an institution in the United Kingdom that's looked at this. And, you know, they're beginning to try to, you know, fizzle out, is there a correlation to how we're working today? And, you know, I'll tell you one thing. Just when we go on these retreats, it's the most social month of my life. You know, it's I'm like right in between introvert and extrovert, pretty fine balance. But like these months, like everybody becomes an extrovert, and it's almost a beautiful thing to watch people who are a little more introverted to like just open up and finally be like, all right, you know, every time I walk downstairs for breakfast, there's three people I'd have an awesome conversation with, you know, when we go together to the co-working space, there's always five or six people. If I'm having this challenge, if they can't help me, they can find somebody who can. So that's a big appeal to all this.
Yeah. I mean, there are a ton of parallels to co-working, you know, in general, which is the world I come from. And it's all about the people. It's not about the space, right? It's about the people and the connections. And but certainly your experience is elevated, you know, exponentially because you're, you know, you're so sort of embedded in each other's lives for 30 days versus kind of just during the day and probably also going into it being just really, really open to making those things happen. Whereas in co-working, I think probably the ramp up takes a little bit longer, but kind of a similar thing there. Like we think this is so normal, but most of the world has no idea that even co-working exists.
Yeah.
We think it's so mainstream because the popular media has started to write about it, but it's like, you still, most people when you walk down the street would say, co what?
Yeah.
You know, so this idea, like much less the idea that you can like leave your house every day and go be with people, but that you could leave your house for 30 days and go live in another country and have that experience.
It's, when I get back from these retreats, it's like reverse culture shock every single time I come back. And, you know, I think about, you know, the importance of community in my life and how it's not a given necessary.
But people don't. People don't ask but, you know, the question.
You touched on co-working and it is a big part of what we do. So everywhere we go, we actually, you know, we partner with a local co-working space. And I think, you know, we do that for some of the reasons that you mentioned. You know, you said, you know, co-working, it is about the people. And I think, you know, the leaders in the space certainly realize that. And so I think we've realized that over time, we've realized we could go out and do it on our own. You know, we could set up office spaces and, you know, we'd actually, you know, save money if we did it that way.
Yeah.
But what we would miss, you know, we would miss tapping into existing, you know, local community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we would tap into, you know, the local creative workforce. That's just great to collaborate. We're always, every time we go to one of these co-working spaces, you know, we set up events, you know, where we make sure, you know, Unsettled members are mingling with their existing members of their co-working space. You know, we play games together to make sure they're connecting. Like, oh, really? He works on digital marketing and this, and so do I. You know, let's chat. And, you know, it also just makes sense. You know, we love supporting, you know, a lot of these. We typically support more of the boutique, you know, sort of 200 member co-working spaces. And those are everywhere now. I mean, you know, you know, we're going to Medellin in February. I think there are 6 to 8, you know, what I would consider a boutique co-working space that's popped up in Medellin in the past, you know, 3 to 4 years. Even more recently, probably. And so we just love supporting, you know, the local, you know, it's much more than co-working. It's the local startup scene. It's the local creative scene. You know, there's some sort of probably, you know, young business owner behind that co-working space. And then the ultimate reason I think is it's, we do have to promise, you know, people will be connected.
Because
if you're traveling for a month, it is about work. And we couldn't lay fiber optic into an office that we set up if we're not local. It's just, right. You just don't understand
do
the local.
It. Yeah.
You just can't do it, even if we really wanted to do it. And so we've basically decided for the existence of Unsettled, it always makes sense to have that local partner in a co-working space.
So question about that, though. So people aren't required to be working when they go on the trip, like the examples you gave of people having just quit their jobs. Or do they have to be working on some project? Like, can they be there, you know, to go surf all day, or does it matter?
Yep. We've never had anybody who is there to surf all day. I think people pick it up really quickly that even if they're not working, maybe they're working on themselves.
Yeah.
So maybe their work for this month is hell, maybe the first time in 10 years of my life, you know, since I was an undergraduate or whatever, I can actually stop and like think through what was that rat race that just got me to 35 years old or whatever. And, you know, have I ever been able to stop and sort of reflect on these major decisions? What, you know, what if I give myself just an intentional pause to think on it before I do the next thing? So we've had people who've come in, very few people who actually don't have any work at all. But they're at the co-working space probably as much or more than anybody else. They're probably, we host and create a lot of workshops. A lot of them are peer-to-peer. So, you know, the Unsettled staff isn't leading every workshop. You know, we're looking at 25 people from around the world with all these skill sets. They're leading them. You know, they're going to have much more expertise than we are. And so, you know, the people who aren't working are attending almost all of those workshops and leading a lot of them themselves. You know, they're able to sit down and have a lot of one-on-one conversations. So to break it down quickly, I would say, about a third of people who join us are probably working full time. For the month, and they probably live, those are the part of the people who sort of live this lifestyle, are comfortable with it.
Yeah.
The next sort of third of people, you know, they're probably working somewhere above half time and less than full time, 25, 35 hours a week. You know, they're probably taking Fridays off because they'd love to go down to this beach that they heard about, or, you know, to go to this other town that they've heard about. And so they're sort of trying to make the most of it. And then that last third is that sort of mixed bag, people who are probably more in transition and are working on themselves. And maybe they enjoy it a little bit better than the rest of us as well.
Right. So what's your sense of how many participants will over time repeat the experience?
You know, this is like the question that every business owner, dreams of. And 6 months ago, had you asked me, I really wouldn't have thought it to be that many people. But one thing that we've learned, just in two retreats, you know, formerly as Unsettled and, you know, a handful as a side project, you know, we've had about I think 15, maybe even 18% return. So on every single trip, there's been, you know, two, three or four people who are repeating. And it's actually, now that we sort of announced, you know, our bigger vision, you know, for 2017, we're getting more than we ever expected. So
I could see that if you lay out the plan, then people can say, okay, I'm going to do three of these this year. And
Oh, you're going to be in Medellin. Okay. I'll go to Medellin in February and March. That sounds great. Oh, but then you're going to be in Bali in April. Okay. I can swing that. And, you know, I think what keeps them coming back. Yeah. It's like the infrastructure. It's knowing there's going to be comfortable accommodation. There's going to be a great co-working space, but there's going to be dynamic, just energy there that they're attracted to new people, you know, obviously, you know, going to new destinations, but it's how we connect to those destinations, I think. So we've been really surprised and I sort of love it. I mean, you know, it's not about the business model. It shows people will continue to trust us and that we're providing something of value when we get into that. It'll probably be 20-25%, my guess, in 2017. And that'll be a huge win for us.
Yeah. And probably over time, you'll sort of learn to tweak a little bit. I would guess it's a slightly different experience for people who have been there repeatedly. Yep. And sort of, right, how do you leverage that? How do you keep things sort of fresh for them? Or how do you avoid the crazies who try to sneak on all your trips that you may not want?
I mean, we do a lot of vetting. I think one, these sort of trips, you know, they are self-selective. You know, people realize how social they're going to be.
Yeah.
You know, our team does a Skype interview, at least one with every single person.
Okay.
By the time we get to, you know, the actual destination, we've probably, you know, between dozens of emails, two or three Skype conversations, you know, we do a Google Hangout with all the members. We're in WhatsApp chat groups. It can be a little overwhelming for those people who are like me, you know, sort of between intro and extroverted. Right. It's going to be fun to see how people continue coming back to this. When are we going to get you on one, Jamie?
Well, so, you know, this is like totally, I would have for sure been this person, but now I have a 5-year-old.
Well, okay. you know how many people we've had that have come to us and said that same thing?
I bet.
And
are you going to create a trip for people with 5-year-olds?
We are. Summer, it looks like, you know, I don't want to release too much, but it looks like we're going to do a family-oriented trip. You know, there are a lot of people who do this year-round, and they've, you know, just like those of us who have sort of designed our careers
yeah.
to be remotely, like, you know, there's more and more people who are homeschooling so that they can decide, you know, have a little bit more control over their lives. And we get so many people who just write us and like, hey, you know, this is cool. I just think it'd be awesome if you guys did it with families. By the time we heard that, like 50 times, you know, 100 times.
Like,
Yeah. Fast Company who reached out to us and she's like, hey, I have a family. I want to do this. She ended up writing an article on us in Fasco about this.
Oh, very cool.
So we're going to do a family trip this summer. So now you have no excuses.
Totally. No. Well, keep me up. Yeah, I'll make sure I'm on your email list so I hear about that one. It is interesting. You know, I grew up in a really small town and I was just talking about this with someone yesterday. I was one of those people who was obsessed with perfect attendance, which maybe you can't relate to if you weren't that person. But,
no, I wasn't.
But I am so anti that person now. Like, you know, we keep talking about like it's some, you know, you sort of look at like how you want to live your life and like perfect attendance in elementary school is not it. And I've already, you know, sort of dragged my kid out of school to go on camping trips and, you know, just to try to get out of that mindset of like, you know, everything useful happens in school. And so I love the idea of being able to expose her to other cultures and have her live somewhere else for a little while and meet other kids from other places. We live in this little bubble on the peninsula and near San Francisco, and to break out of that and show her the real world would be invaluable.
It's dreamy to talk about, and I don't have children, so I can only tell you what we've learned. So we actually did put together a few calls with families to try to co-design this. If we're going to do this with families, we really want to just co-design it with them. We want them, you know, to sort of be all in, you know, and of course we're going to work, we're going to put together the right pieces of the puzzle. But one thing that we've learned is, you know, it's not easy. You know, there's a lot more plastic things that you have to carry with you.
Right.
And all
the depending plane. On how old they are. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, depending on how old they are and yeah, how, you know, what will they actually be doing to be entertained?
Yeah.
You know, just a few more questions about food and all of those things. So we're certainly exploring this, but we're trying to do it really thoughtfully and kind of being patient on it because we know it's very needed. It's something that, you know, we want to get into because, you know, we don't want to be only, you know, 33-year-old, yeah. you know, successful, you know, young people who are having, you know, their first sort of, you know, life crisis.
Right, right.
And, I want to be more than that. My business partner grew up traveling at a young age. His parents decided, you know, instead of buying that new TV, that new car, so they took him out of school for some time. He traveled to, I think, like 40 countries with his parents.
Wow.
And, but he also, you know, his dad has become a mentor of ours. He describes himself as a 72-year-old digital nomad.
That's awesome.
We've had people in their 50s on these trips, but we have more and more people in their 50s.
Yep.
Yeah, maybe early retirement or, you know, I mean, entrepreneurship, we think of it as like this Mark Zuckerbergs who are doing it in college. Yeah. Actual, most people start successful businesses in their 50s. And, you know, this is, I think, where a lot of people begin to want that freedom in their lives. And whether it's early retirement or just sort of restructuring, you know, how they work. And so we have been getting a lot of people in their 50s too. So I think, Unsettled over time, you know, will grow the sort of these profiles that I described to you because, you know, this is something that everybody can do. Or, you know, those of us who it is, I'm not going to lie, it's a pretty privileged thing. And I tell myself every day how grateful I am to have built a lifestyle where I can do this. And I think that's something that we build into these trips. When we're going to Medellin, you know, as an example, we're working. You know, just, you know, as what we do is we bring super talented people from all over the world, you know, to the city and their skills that they have. So we sort of have a talent exchange going on with the local, nonprofit partner who places a lot of people traditionally from corporate talent into local NGOs, you know, into local organizations.
Okay.
And, you know, I sort of called them up, a friend of mine actually runs it down there in Medellin. And I said, hey, you know, look at some of the profiles of the people we're taking. I mean, you know, we're taking people down who run companies with, you know, 60 employees, you know, consulting for Fortune 500 companies who are, you know, working at the front, at the leading edge of sort of green technology, you know, could your organizations that you work with get any benefit? And he just looks at him. He's like, oh, hell yeah. And plus you're here for a month.
Yeah.
That's time to build a relationship. And so, you know, I look at this and often those of us who can do something like this, you know, we've probably a product of privilege, you know, we've worked really hard oftentimes, we've created this. And so, it means a lot when we're going to these places and we're looking for new ways to how do we connect.
It's amazing. I think a lot of it is privilege, but I think one of the things I'm fascinated about is some of it too is mindset. Like to go back to sort of those macro decisions, like when you're deciding how you want to live your life and if you're going to be an entrepreneur, well, what kind of entrepreneur? Are you going to be the kind that like has a physical space that you have to be at that you can never leave? Or are you going to have, I mean, you mentioned people with teams, so they must be able to get away. But right, like how do you build a business that now that these things are possible, lets you do the things, live the life that you want to live and not just kind of own a business that you're sometimes entrepreneurship can be worse than working working for the man. So how do you do
stop me?
Yeah.
You know, a lifelong entrepreneur. And I believe it's one of the sort of shining lights of capitalism. You know, the reason I'm an entrepreneur is because I was the opposite of you in grade school. I had horrible attendance. I mean, I almost, got pushed out of high school because I was a really poor student. And, you know, eventually I, you know, got into college and within a couple of years I was, so I actually, there were 400 people in my graduating class, you know, valedictorian's number one. I was like number 360. I was like way down there because I was just disengaged.
Yeah.
And it wasn't at the time I thought, okay, I'm just not smart. You know, a couple of years later, you know, I worked through community college, you know, went to a great college, a great university. I was on the dean's list at the university just 2 years after I was dropping out. Yeah. But like, I knew all along, I never had any significant behavioral problems. Mm-hmm. You know, I caused some issues. I gave some hell to my teachers. I should go and apologize over Christmas when I'm home. But I realized, you know, and in hindsight, maybe I realized that I would make a horrible employee because I'm fiercely independent, you know, and I think a lot of people who go on our trips, a lot of people who are starting businesses, a lot of people who think about these freelance careers, you know, they are fiercely independent individuals. And so I think that carries over in a really interesting way.
Yeah. This has been a really great conversation. And I said, you know, maybe 20, 30 minutes and we're at 40 minutes. So I'm going to cut us off. Yeah. But I feel like we could talk about this all day. I love what you're doing.
We could go on today. This was a pleasure. And we will. We'll talk about it for a month this summer on a family retreat.
Totally. Yes. I'll get myself on the mailing list so I don't miss that for sure. So yeah, thanks for sharing kind of what you're about and how this came to be and where you're going. I really appreciate it and glad to spread the word. So yeah, we look forward to staying updated. So the website again is beunsettled.co. There's a BE in front of it. So go check that out. And there's a calendar of upcoming trips on there to sign up for. So thanks again for your time and we look forward to staying connected.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Everything Coworking. Be sure to click the subscribe button so you can stay up to date on the latest trends and how-tos. Until next time.